The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At Cody underscore Stutes today. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. A lot of baseball netting talk. A lot of Rockets talk. Jerome Solomon popped on, talked a little Rockets with us. Did get the Stanley Cup mentioned, but haven't talked too much about the finals. We will get to that, along with about 6,000 other things that I wanted to do today. But first off, just want to take a second. If you have not checked out sportsmap.com today, please do, because we're extremely close to a huge milestone month. So we need to finish relatively strong today and tomorrow to get there. So help us out. Just go check it out. We've got Radu, who's one of our, well, interned. He's a comic. He's a very funny guy. He's got a column up on who you should root for in the NBA Finals, whether it's a case for the Raptors, case for the Warriors. Cody's 11 observations from OTAs yesterday, still up.
Yes.
Doing very well.
Thank you.
Max Kellerman says the Rockets have to use Capella's value to get out of CP3's deal.
Was unaware he had value.
Yeah, well, and Corey's Nerds Around Town is up. He's also got an esports thing going. So if you're into any of those kind of things, please go check them out. All on sportsmap.com. And tomorrow you'll get the most important thing of the week, Juggalo Trey's NASCAR report.
No, can't wait.
I wanted to.
Is he any good at betting? Like, can I use him like NASCAR Rain Man?
I don't know, but I don't really bet on NASCAR, but dude knows the stuff. He really does. He is like a NASCAR Rain Man. There's no question.
I need to start picking his brain and see if I can find some value.
So I want to throw this out real quick.
Okay.
Because it's something that I've been kind of trying to do for a long time. And there's a column on For the Win about what if we just stopped indulging Skip Bayless? Like, quit saying, oh, can you believe Skip said this? And it's not just Skip. I think there's a whole list of people that you could put on there. Stephen A.
Okay.
Colin, you could put on there. Clay Travis. I don't think there's a shortage. Max Kellerman now is kind of the new one. At what point can we just say, you know what, let's quit talking about what these guys say? Because they're just trying to get you to talk about them. They're trying to get, you know, the equivalent of the retweet is what they're trying to do. So why don't we just stop doing it?
Okay. I'm in on this movement. The tough part is it's not like, I feel like it would be tough to get people who like really dislike them to stop. Like, I'm fairly indifferent to a lot of these guys.
Well, I don't care, because I know what they're doing, and it's actually pretty smart for what they do. It's like, let's have some ridiculous take that people are going to say, oh, can you believe Skip said this? Or in Colin's case, let's get into a war with Baker Mayfield.
Right.
And that's going to get you mentioned. It's going to keep you relevant.
You saw what Rich Eisen did, right?
No, what did he do?
So Rich Eisen, it was the Stephen A. Smith and Kellerman, I think it was, or it was, no, it was Skip, was giving C.J. McCollum a hard time. And Rich Eisen hit up C.J. McCollum, was like, hey, by the way, they're going to crush you. They're going to crush you. Then they're going to invite you on to their set to get you to boost the conversation and keep it going. And then sure enough, like a couple of days later, boom. The invite went out to CJ McCollum. Well, you can come on the show.
Yeah.
And Rich Eisen was like, rinse, repeat, man. All right, well, so who's on this list? Skip? Stephen A.
Yeah. I put Colin on there.
Colin.
Max Kellerman, definitely. These
Kellerman.
Days.
Okay. David Barron.
David Barron. I'm not commenting on it. I've been friends with David Barron for a long time, but yes, I'm very frustrated by his approach to covering radio here in the city. Clay Travis is on that list.
Nick Wright?
I don't think he really... He doesn't really move the needle to me. I don't know why.
I think he tries, or at least he tried to when he first got his national syndication stuff, but I think he realized he couldn't outdo a Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
I feel like Fox might have told him, hey, back off, you're not that guy.
I find most of Nick's stuff actually pretty well thought out. And I'm not just saying that because I used to work with him. Like, I do feel like it's actually pretty well thought out. Now, Chris Carter, on the other hand, Chris gets a little wild sometimes.
Yeah, I to be honest, I've never really
consumed,
paid much attention to Nick. You know, when he was here, I listened to him sometimes, but not my kind of guy. And I only met him once. We were in Vegas, and he's one of those guys that kind of turns into a character while he's on air. I'm not a big fan of that. I mean, just be yourself is kind of how, you know. I mean, it works. It works for him. He's doing really well. God, who is... There's somebody else I was thinking about today that is getting to be that way, and I can't remember who it was now.
Brian T. Smith.
No. No.
Are you talking only
national
guys?
We're talking nationally.
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha. All right.
Yes.
I'll stop naming Chronicle people then.
Yeah, you didn't mention my man Jerome. Better leave him alone.
No.
I will fight you.
I thought about when he said, when you said best columnist on the Chronicle, I thought about throwing a dig in there, but I don't know Jerome well enough that if he would take the dig well or not.
I think he's the best columnist at the Chronicle because I hired him.
Ah, so. There you go.
And yeah. A couple things from Twitter. Jay Garza says, do you believe the NFL is making a bigger deal out of this Elliott situation more than Tariq Hill? No, I don't think the NFL is making a big deal out of it. I think the media is making a big deal out of it. He's a Cowboy. It's always going to be a bigger deal, even though I don't think there's anything to it, really.
Well, Jerry tried to strong arm the commissioner, like, oh, no, we don't expect anything to happen. Like, they're going to review the tape there, Jerry. Let's cool the Jets.
That's one of those I'll reserve judgment on. But it really doesn't look like it's that big a deal to me. But if you're a Cowboys fan, you got to be a little worried that Elliott keeps popping up in things that he really shouldn't. But Lamont said, this was a topic with Lance and Raheel's barbecue show, but how do you feel about media members confirming stories of breaking news? It's been a pet peeve of mine for years. Man, you know who started it? Was ESPN. So-and-so has confirmed was how they did it,
yeah.
Right? And they're confirming, like Adam Schefter has confirmed. Well, Ian Rappaport tweeted it, but they don't credit the other guy. It's just they would say so-and-so has confirmed. They've gotten better at being, at least now, of saying first reported by so-and-so. But, I do think it's kind of chicken bleep. You should give credit where credit is due on these things, in my opinion. If Cody Stutes breaks a story, then I'm not going to come out and say I've confirmed that the NHL is coming to Houston and Cody reported it.
Boy.
It's going to be Cody, you know. Cody Stutes reported this, and I've talked to some people. He's right about it.
Something wild would go down if I was breaking the NHL.
Yeah, if you
town.
Break that one and I don't, I'm going to be really pissed.
Can I get a bonus if I break that story?
Yeah, if you break that story, you'll get a bonus.
Okay. All right. That works. Got to start cozying up the Tillman.
There you go. Yeah. It's, man, not that we're going to get it. We'll talk about the finals next because I want to get to that. But I am hearing a lot of smoke, and I'm really, really trying to nail it down. But
so I have some catching up to do.
No, think about it. You can't hear smoke. I'm seeing. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of okay. I was trying to get to the smoke/fire thing. I'm hearing a lot of buzz. How's that? It's just I have not been able to nail anything down. you know what? Do we have any beer left? I'm going to break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This
is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today, or for the next several days. 210 says the people who like Skip or Max are the same people that get all their news from headlines and not the actual content, clickbait readers. Yeah, I don't think that's unfair at all. I get really frustrated when people react to headlines as opposed to actually happened a little bit yesterday. Not going to lie. Ticked me off because I did the five greatest gambling movies of all time, and I gave specific criteria in the first paragraph. And everybody kept saying, what about this movie? What about this movie? And all of them I had mentioned as to why they weren't gambling movies. Every single one of them. It's like, please just take 10 bleeping seconds to read the article before you just...
I need to go back and read because I was going to bring up a movie that I thought you had left off.
Okay.
But I'm going to go back and read.
Well, because go ahead and bring up the movie, because if you didn't read it, then I'll make you look stupid.
No, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Well, no. you were going to bring it up.
I was going to bring it up, but now I need to make sure it fits the criteria.
Well, I'm just kind of curious how it is you know it wasn't on the list, but you don't know whether or not it fits the criteria.
Because I just read which ones. I just read the five movies.
You just looked at the five movies. See, yeah. that's you're what's wrong with
two
America.
Two for the money. Al Pacino.
No, that's a good one.
Matt McConaughey.
That fits.
Sports gambling.
It fits. It just wasn't good enough to get in my top five.
Gotcha.
That's a hard top five to crack, to be honest.
It is
with
a hard top five to crack.
You
said to check out Mississippi Grind, though.
Yeah.
I have not seen it yet.
That is it's one of those.
It's got the brother from Bloodline and Ryan Reynolds in it.
And Ryan Reynolds, and it's funny because my wife watches anything with Ryan Reynolds, and so she found it, and it was really just this cool little indie movie where they go around betting, and it's like my favorite thing is Ryan Reynolds says, it's just some guy I met playing an $80 poker tournament, and they become best friends, and it's a good movie. It's not good enough to. It's not better than The Hustler or any of those, but it's worth checking out.
Okay.
Let's squeeze on Michael real quick, and then we'll talk a little NBA Finals. What's up, Michael?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you, brother. What's up?
Hey, man. Me and some buddies had a little debate since the two were playing each other. And who would you say is the better GM out of Theo Epstein and Jeff Luhnow? My argument for Luhnow is what he was able to do with the Astros, being kind of a small to mid-market team that traditionally was very, very cheap compared to Epstein, who did great things but did it with two of the traditional powers and a pretty unlimited checkbook. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, let's stop with the small to mid-market. Houston is not a small market, okay? Now, you want to talk about the fans maybe being... you want to talk about being a bad fan city? I'll listen to that, but to sit there and say small to mid-market is just dumb. And I got into it with a friend of mine on Twitter last night who was saying that. And there's almost 6 million people in this market. It's a top 10 media market. That's not a small market. And that has nothing to do with fans showing up for games or anything else. So let's just start with that. Let's just go ahead and castrate that whole idea of this being a small market.
Right.
Because it's not. In fact... Yeah, you know, and my friend who's from Chicago has penis envy because Houston's going to pass Chicago.
And strange thing to be envious about, but okay.
I know. It's like, oh, well, that's why you're a small market. No, we're going to have more people here than you have, and that's okay. You're still a better sports market by far and a better media market, but that's neither here nor there. So let's just stop with the small market crap, okay?
Okay.
So that's the thing. I don't want people calling into a show and then just dropping stuff like that. And nobody calls them out on how stupid it is. So it's like, I think your actual question is good, but tacking on garbage like that is just, come on, man. That's not the right phrasing. It's not the right anything. So I want to dispel this myth right now. Houston is not a small market. And anybody who thinks it is a dumb, okay?
See, it's
a full-on dumb, and not even a dumb and dumber, just a dumb.
It's fascinating that you're not a big fan of Bill O'Brien because you and he both have the same little thing that if you leave a little opening in a question that's not quite, like if you qualify something that's not correct, or if you, you know, attack something on the back end of a question, that kind of gets picked apart, and then maybe the question's answered.
But to get to his point, yeah, Theo had the advantage of two teams that spend a lot of money.
And Theo did it twice.
And he did it twice, so I'll give him the edge right now, but ask me again at the end of this season, because where Luno had to come from was a lot farther back than what Theo had to do in either place.
No doubt.
Cubs were pretty well set up by the time he got there, and it was a matter of tweaking. But, you know, what Luno's done is pretty amazing, and he might do it again this year, assuming, you know, Carlos will quit running into golf clubs. But and the other thing about it is, here's another thing. The Astros are spending some money, guys. It's not like, you know, they're not the Royals, okay?
Yeah.
They're out there. They're chunking. Go look at all just this offseason. And that's another myth. Oh, the Astros are cheap. Are they? How much money did they just pay Bregman?
$100 million.
Yeah, is that cheap?
No.
What'd they pay Altuve?
Lots of money.
Yeah. Is that cheap?
Verlander.
Verlander getting over $30 million a year.
Even people who were hammering the cheap before the World Series run just seemingly just ignored the fact that they signed Yuli and paid Yuli a tremendous amount of money for a guy that had never played Major League Baseball before, which is a huge risk. Huge risk. Obviously, it paid off because Yuli's a monster. Little iffy this year, but he'd been really good up to this point. And I mean, Crane has always been willing to spend money when it's been worthwhile money to spend.
Right. And you know what? He followed through. When he said, when we're good enough to spend money, we will. And they have. What's their payroll now? Where's their payroll rank? I would bet a small child it's in the top 10.
And by the way, as much
not
as
my
it's,
small child, because I don't have one that I know of.
Not none that you claim on your taxes.
Right.
Seventh
in payroll. How in any way, shape, or form does that make you a small market team?
Ahead of the Mets, ahead of the Angels, ahead of the Phillies.
The Angels interest me because they've spent a ton of money on basically two and a half guys.
They spend gobs of money on the best young player and the worst old player in baseball.
Pretty much. Someone three mentioned grifters. That was another one that came so close to making the list, but it's a con movie. It's not a gambling movie. And so, and that's what came up yesterday, is I'm going to do a con movie list. That's in my top five con movies of all time. And I was telling, when Eric was on with us yesterday, 1 and 1A are The Sting and, I'm just blanking. The Digstown. Yeah, Sting and Digstown are 1 and 1A.
What would you call Ocean's 11? Is that a heist movie?
Yeah, it's kind of a heist movie.
Okay.
More than a con movie. I mean,
it's got elements of cons in it, but all to pull a heist.
Yeah, exactly. So, is it supposed to rain tonight? I need Steven, the weather guy, to let me know whether it's going to be okay for me to go sit on the patio and have steak and beer tonight.
It rained on me on the way over here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, 409, here's another problem. What's wrong with Cincinnati Kid? It's on the damn list. Go read the go read the bleeping story. You are exactly what's wrong with America. It's exactly what I was talking about.
Oh,
what about Rounders? Yeah, the picture is of Rounders. What do you think? Oh my God. And I get a lot of people are driving. They don't have time to look at it while they're driving. But come on, man.
Oh man.
Just go check it before you do that. That's all I ask. It's not much. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I wasn't made for the good life. I ended up getting stuck on the side of the road. I tripped and fell.
Hello, it is. This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Deacon says, in all fairness, prior to Jim Crane, the Astros were notoriously tight purse. The last few years of Drayton, they were. And the first few years of Crane, when they were just going to build it from nothing, they were spending nothing on this payroll. But that's not the case anymore. And yeah, this whole I got into it with somebody else was trying to tell me that Toronto was a small market. It's like, oh, come on, man. Are we that? Are we so insulated in our own society? Toronto's about the size of Houston, actually. And yeah, the greater Toronto area, I think, has a few more people. But, you know, speaking of which, because we have Raptors and Warriors. And as I would love to see the Raptors win, mainly because it would make my entire family in Canada happy. Because as much as Toronto is a Maple Leafs town, it's a Raptors slash Blue Jays country.
I was going to ask that. Raptors are the team of the country.
They are. Because they're the only teams in the sport, everybody's adopted. Maybe not Quebec because they're weird, but everybody else has adopted them.
They're
basically French. Yeah, they're weird Frenchies. But like even Western Canada, which doesn't like anything about Eastern Canada. It's kind of funny, and there's a lot of people in Western Canada, that, especially in Alberta, that want to be like Texas. They think of themselves as Texas, and they hate everything Toronto and Montreal, just like we here hate everything in New York.
Right.
And it's kind of funny, but when it comes to sports, man, they get behind those two teams. When the Jays were good, it was the same thing. The whole country got behind them. The whole country will be behind the Raptors. And, you know, it's fun to watch. It's a great sports city. It truly is. And I've been there for a Leafs game. I've been there for a Raptors game, a Jays game. And, man, for the playoffs, they get that Jurassic Park going outside the building. That is such a cool place. If you've never been, like, I've watched a hockey game out there. Because even the scalpers were trying to buy tickets for me for the this is when the Leafs sucked and I couldn't get tickets through the scalpers because I didn't get them soon enough. Yeah, but you're outside and they had this giant screen on the side of the what used to be the Air Canada Center. I guess it's Scotiabank now. But and people will stand out there in the cold, in the middle of winter, watching hockey games, and they do that for the Raptors and for the playoffs. Man, they get like as many people as they can get in that square. It's like 5,000, I think. And it's just always packed, and people can't get in the game, but they can get out there. So it's a great fan base. It's a fantastic city. I love it up there, and I'd love to see them win. Having said that,
Warriors in five.
I'm going to go Warriors in six. I'm going to give them two wins. I don't think they win game one, which they're favored by a point, interestingly enough. I don't bet a lot of NBA. It's like I don't bet a lot of baseball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The last two nights I bet against the Astros, and I wound up splitting.
You were on Lester too?
Yeah, especially with everybody out and Corbin Martin. So that was my first baseball bet of the year. That was a fail. But then last night I came back and bet him again. And so I want to break it even on that. If I were going to play tonight, I would take the Warriors money line -105.
Ooh, some places. If you're an enterprising young man, you could find them at +100.
Definitely would take that.
Yep.
But
as I did,
yeah, I'm not going to bet it because I really want to root against the Warriors.
Here's what I'm worried about with game one. The delay that the Warriors had 9 days. The Raptors have had like a 4-day delay at this point.
Well, it's still significant.
So both guys are, I think both teams are out of rhythm. So it's not like one team just finished up a series and then you roll right into the next series and you're still in rhythm. You still feel like everything's going good. And the big thing is Kyle Lowry's history in game ones.
Kyle Lowry.
Kawhi Leonard doesn't erase that.
Well, for the Raptors to win, Kawhi's going to have to play at an extremely high level, which he's done at times in these playoffs, but he's going to have to do it consistently. He's going to have to do it four times, and the bench is going to have to play as well as it did in the series against the Bucks when they won the games they were winning.
Yep.
Now, I think the Boogie Cousins thing.
Bad. Bad for the Warriors.
I think it's bad for the Warriors, and I'll tell you why. I think that means Marc Gasol's on the floor more, and I think that the way they match up without him, it's kind of a tough matchup for Gasol, who's been very useful for the Raptors. You put Boogie Cousins out there, Gasol can be on the floor and be effective.
Yep.
So I think that's an advantage for the Raptors, but on the whole, I just don't see Kyle Lowry being able to stop either Steph or Klay. You'd be able to match up back there.
So this is a really weird question. Who would you have Kawhi guard, and who would you have guard Kawhi?
I'd have Iguodala on Kawhi.
Okay.
From the Warriors' perspective. And
I actually like that. Okay.
Yeah, and I would probably put... I'm not sure what I would do with Kawhi. I'd probably have him chasing around Steph sometimes. I'd have him chasing Clay sometimes. I'd have him on Draymond sometimes.
I'd start him on Clay, and I'd finish him on Steph.
Yeah. But and he is such a tremendous defensive player. But having said all that, I just – and at some point, all the basketball – I mentioned this yesterday. All the basketball the Warriors have played every year is going to catch up to him. I just don't think it's now. And I would – nothing would make me happier than to see the Raptors win, mainly because it would make my wife happy and
– happy wife, happy life.
All my friends.
Yeah.
But all my friends in Canada anyway. But I saw a thing where even in America – like, there's only three states rooting for Golden State.
And that is California.
Definitely. Of course, if you believe California, they are the United States. So
right.
Don't get me started on that.
I'm guessing... Oh, the sports books don't want Toronto to win. So I'm guessing Nevada's rooting.
Nevada is one of them. Pretty sure you'll never guess the other one, because it's one of those states we never think about.
Oh.
There's your hint.
Is it Alaska?
Close, because what are the two that we never think about? Alaska and Hawaii.
Oh, it's Hawaii?
Yeah.
Why is Hawaii rooting for the Warriors? That is a very strange move there.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I was a little surprised by that, because there's a lot of Canadians that basically winter in Hawaii.
Oh.
Especially from Western Canada. I have a friend who, they have a place there. They keep inviting me every winter and I can never go. But that surprised me a little bit. But those are the three who are rooting for the Warriors. They're fantastic to watch. They're a great basketball team. They're a better basketball team to watch from a visual standpoint when Durant's not in there. I don't know if they're better, although the record says they are, but I'm sick of them. They're great, and you've got to respect their greatness, but I don't want to see Steph Curry's kid ever again trotted out into a press conference. I don't want to see him with his stupid mouthpiece.
Who do you enjoy watching more? And this is a really loaded up question here. Tom Brady and the Patriots, or Curry, Clay, and Draymond?
Tom
the
Brady
Warriors?
And the Patriots, and it's not close.
You enjoy watching their domination more?
Yeah, because for one thing, it's football. It's a real sport. And second off,
easy hockey guy.
Just kidding. Just kidding, eh? No, I mean, I football is always going to be more interesting for me to watch than any other sport. With the occasional exception of hockey. But so for that perspective, yes. And seeing what Brady has done and the Patriots have done to me is more impressive, because you're talking about over a longer period, for one thing.
Yep.
The fact that it is harder for me. I think it's harder to win a Super Bowl because teams have to turn over almost every year. And this is in no way to denigrate what the Warriors have done, because it's damn impressive. But if you get a core like that together and keep them together, which they've managed to do, then add to that core, then it's easier to win an NBA title than it is to win the Super Bowl.
No doubt.
And especially when you have it, like, you can't just keep, and that's the Patriots, man, every year. Doesn't matter who they lose, and they've lost some great players through the years. Richard Seymour, they let walk, and Ty Law, they let walk, and even more recently,
Logan Mankins.
Yeah, I mean, they just reload over and over. So this isn't the University of Hawaii the Warriors? That's true. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Maybe there's got to be some sort of connection we don't know or we're not seeing.
Yeah.
With as excited as Toronto is for the Raptors and it possibly being their first title, which city burns more? St. Louis if the Blues win, or Toronto if the Raptors win?
Ooh.
St. Louis.
Since you've been around Toronto.
Well, I say that knowing full well that Vancouver rioted when they lost to the Bruins. But Toronto is not, I don't see them doing that. I just think it's a very, how can I describe it?
Formal?
It's a very diverse city, as is Houston, but it's a more of an international city, I think, than most cities in America. And I don't know if you guys saw this story, and it's worth reading, and I'll tweet it out, but it's about a super fan of the Raptors. And I don't know if you saw it, because everybody talks about Drake. Well, this guy is he immigrated to Canada a whole bunch of years ago and wound up working his way up to owning a a car dealership. He's been to every single Raptors game from the very beginning. And he just kind of totally represents what Toronto is. And now I can't find the story. It was on my list. But, yeah, it's worth checking out. If you look up, oh, here it is. It's the Toronto's real super fan is not Drake. And this guy's name is Nav Bhatia. And he's doing so well now that every year he spends $300,000 to take kids in Toronto to Raptors games. He's been to every single one. He's 67 years old. Been to every single Raptors home game since 95.
Wow.
And that includes, that goes back to Vince Carter and all those guys back in the day.
Hakeem in the Raptors pajamas.
Hakeem in the Raptors pajamas.
We try to say that we don't remember, but we always do.
And the story goes, he came to Canada as an immigrant in the 80s with almost nothing. As a brown turban guy with an accent, he couldn't get a job as an engineer, so he wound up working as a car salesman at a dealership in a rough part of town. And he sold 127 cars in his first 90 days. It's a record that stands to this day. He did it the old-fashioned way by being honest. He was so good that eventually he bought the dealership.
Would you like to know a fun fact about the superfan?
Sure.
You can hear an interview with him and our very own Raheel Ramzanali right now.
Really?
Raheel tweeted out an interview with him earlier today.
Oh, awesome. Cool. So is that on the podcast or what?
That's if you just go to Raheel's Twitter page, you can find it, at the underscore Raheel.
Yeah, but just a fascinating story, and he really represents what Toronto's about. I'm not going to say what Canada's about because...
More so than Drake.
There's a big difference between Toronto and Western Canada. I want to make that clear. And I spend most of my time in Western Canada, and it's more like Texas than it is anything else. But Toronto is an amazing city, and they're easy to root for. I hope they win, but yeah, Warriors in six. So yeah, a lot of people tell me Raheel had him today. So go check that out on the podcast. That's very cool.
I have a couple more questions about this finals. Can I ask you some of these here in a moment?
Well, we have to do the gym of the day when we get back, but after that, okay. Certainly.
All right. Sounds good.
Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The American country music singer Cody Jenks and special guests the Toadies and Ward Davis are coming to Sam Houston Race Park on Saturday, October 12th. ESPN 97.5 is giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets before you can buy. So at 5:53, we'll take caller number 5 to 713-780-3776. You're going to win a pair of tickets to see the show. Tickets go on sale Friday, May 31st at 10 a.m. That's tomorrow. For more concert and ticket info, head to CodyJinks.com. So that'll be at Sam Houston Race Park, which always sad when the meet ends, but it also means I don't have to do horse picks. Handicap 30 races a week. So, all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, we go to England, which is fast becoming the Florida of Europe, where a British woman, her name is Jane Park, when she was 17 years old, she won $1 million in the Euro Millions jackpot. That sounds good, but if you think about it, at 17, if you won $1 million and then didn't work and stuff, you're going to run out of that pretty quick, right? Well, it's €1 million, so it's a little more than $1 million. Well, guess what she's doing now? She's, for 50 euros a pop, you can see pictures of her breasts.
Wait. She won the lottery.
Right. She's now 23 years old, so it was 6 years ago when she won the lottery.
Uh-huh.
And she says, "Feel so empowered. I've been selling topless pictures online meant to men desperate to see my boobs for 50 euros, and donated the money to charity. I feel like Robin Hood, taking from wealthier men wanting to perv and giving to less wealthy who want to eat. Hashtag empowerment, hashtag Robin Hood. Yeah, I'm going to go with she's probably gone through that money and now making $50 for selling her boobs or showing pictures of her boobs. Says, before people start asking, no, I don't post full nudes.
Oh,
no, I'm
so classy.
No, I'm not skint, which is a British word for broke. And no, I don't need a new job. I already have one, being a landlord for my property and managing my investments. This is purely about feeling empowered and helping others.
Helping others do what?
Helping others look at her breast. And, you know, I mean, maybe I'm just getting old, but I'm not all that impressed
with
her pictures. I mean,
here's the thing. There's not a element of like, oh, I have to see these.
I'm going to pay 50 euros because I'm so desperate and pervy. No, I'm just going to go to Pornhub and see better for free. That would be me.
That's $55.66 American, by the way.
Yeah, this no, not really.
What would $55.66 get you? $55.66 in some parts of town gets you way more than just a look at
it. Dude, if you start telling me that you've been trolling down Bissonnette, then I'm going to be very disappointed in you.
You already don't shake my hand. I took out the penicillin shot, Fred.
She just has kind of a weird-looking body, too.
Doesn't she?
Yeah. But you know what? I wish her all the best.
You know how I would describe her? Wonky.
Wonky?
There's something wonky about her.
Oh, you would, though. Stop.
Oh, Fred, hold on now. Just because I would describe her as wonky doesn't mean that I kick her out of bed for eating crackers. Come on. Yeah, come on.
Well, man. Anyway, that's your Sad Eye Jeweler's Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day, the Sad Eye Jeweler gem of the day.
She would miserably fail the pool test, by the way. You know what the pool test is?
No. Wait, you use a pool cue and you...
No.
What?
If they, air quotes, accidentally got knocked into the pool, how would they look getting out of the pool? Would they still look fairly attractive? I think she would fail the pool test.
What the hell is that?
You never had the pool test?
No.
You never heard of that?
I've never heard of that.
That's a big thumbs up for me. I love the pool test.
I got to tell you, most attractive women are going to still look attractive when they get their hair wet.
That's the point. Hair wet, makeup, you know, running off. How does she look in the wet clothes?
You know.
Pool test.
Aaron, am I wrong? Cody's a weird, isn't he?
Little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's making me look kind of normal.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know.
Well, yeah, I'm the weirdo. Okay. I mean, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't believe you've never heard of the pool test.
No, because I don't go around judging women based on how they look. I judge them on their intellect and their...
What?
Their sense of humor.
Can I get a replay of 3 minutes ago?
Sense of humor. You know.
Fred's like...
Breasts are far down the list.
Well, I don't know if this girl's that attractive that I'd pay $50 to see her breasts.
Well, I wouldn't pay $50 to see anybody's breasts.
Have you?
What?
Before, paid money to see
If you're asking me if I've ever been to a strip club, yeah, but the breasts are already there.
Well,
they're out. You're not technically...
You pay the $10 cover and you can still see them.
Right. I mean, that's, you know...
They don't put you in blinders until you pay the extra money.
Goes without saying. So...
We should let that one slide?
Pretty
I'm
much.
The weirdo. He's talking about getting blindfolded by a stripper. And we're going to let that one slide?
You got blindfolded by a stripper?
No, I said they don't put blinders on you like a racehorse when you walk in.
Oh.
You don't. It's not like a when you drop a coin into those old New York peep show things. They don't put blinders on you and then, hey, give me $5 more. You can take off the glasses
Minutes. I'm confused. You went to a New York strip show and put money in?
See?
Or was there a blind stripper? There's one of the two.
I'm not the weird one here.
No, you are the weird one.
No.
I just want to know where he's going with all this.
You remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoons where he puts in a quarter and he can watch the girl get undressed?
And now we're into bestiality. In okay, yep. Cool. Gotcha.
I think I'm just the gem of the day.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm there's two or three people have said this pool thing is a real deal.
Oh, okay.
two of three.
So Cody's not that weird anymore.
No, you're still weird.
Still got weird. Okay, then Cody's as weird as some of the fine listeners of this fine station.
Oh, listen, we got some. Don't get me wrong. I love our listeners, but we definitely have some weird ones. And you know what? Cody had a whole bunch of stuff he sent me that he wanted to talk about today. We haven't gotten to a single damn thing. So
that's fine. I'm having a blast.
Guess what we're going to do in the 6 o'clock hour? We're going to
Cody show.
We're going to do some of the Cody show here because plus, you know, I need to find out more about him because now that I know he's a weird, I really want to hear some of these things, you know, this pool test, you know, wearing a woman's breast as a hat, that kind of stuff that he does. I want to know about this.
I've never done that on purpose.
All right. Quick break. That's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.